This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I shoot my shot, I hit my goals. I let man act like they don't know. Check my record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murder a beat, I'm cold. I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to talk. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals. I let man act like they don't know. Check man's record, I learned that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murder a beat, I'm cold. When I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to. Middle of the field and check like scores. But I still grind and chase my goals. When I get a chance, man's veins get cold.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mogga. Haven't been on a pod for a couple of weeks, which in football time is an eternity. It's back-to-back pods for you this week now, Dr. Mike. You were on last week, weren't you?
I was, man. Ever present now.
You're Dr. Michael. Sorry, Dr. Mike is the cop-in guy. You're Dr. Michael. You get the full name treatment, you know?
Yeah. There's even a proper Dr. Mike in America. So, yeah, that guy on cop-in, be careful.
Those guys can tussle over that name, cop-in, and all that good stuff. We're also joined by a friend of the pod here for his biannual pod appearance. Alex Baz, how you doing, brother?
All right, my boys.
Yeah, perfect good timing. Some would say no coincidence.
You know why I'm here.
We know why you're here. Before we start, though, I've got to do the usual and plug the social. So if you're listening, you're not following on the Twitter, that's TLF_Mogga. If you're someone who's a fan of the additional content, so previews, reviews, you like to join the community, we've got the Discord. I've been attaching a link to the Discord to every podcast. Mogga on Patreon for the additional content. Give it a like. Feedback if you're on there. Give us some directions, the content we're putting on there that you like, the content that you would like to see. It's International Week coming up, so we've got a bit more time to flex our creative muscles. If you are somebody who listens to the pod, please give that a rating on either Spotify or Apple. Always DMs are open on the Twitter. Don't send any weird stuff, though. But with all that being done, let's get into the business of what we do, people. Listen, man, it means more, like I say. FA Cup quarterfinal against our rivals, long time rivals, biggest rivals, Liverpool. Before the game, it's like we haven't lost to them at home in the FA Cup in 100 years, and and in my mind, that was like, ah, shit, another record for Ten Hag to break. But we beat them. I want to talk about how we went about the business of beating them, but Dr. Michael, let's start with how you were feeling in the build-up to the game.
Oh, negative. I was saying it on the pod last week, man. I was like, whatever score Liverpool wanted, they could have. They're the form team. They were top recently. Obviously, when they drew City, they lost their top spot in the Premier League. And they bagged the League Cup a few weeks ago. So I was thinking, whatever they want. And obviously, we've been shaky We got the win against Everton, but Fulham before that came to us and played us off the park. So I weren't feeling too confident at all. So very pleasantly surprised by the final result.
Okay, we'll get to that. Alex, it's been a while. Where's your head at with all things Manchester United? It's been... Was Erik ten Hag manager the last time you came on?
Oh, stop it.
That was nasty work.
You're taking the piss, bro.
Obviously, since the last time you came on, we've gone from having a good season, finishing third, winning a trophy, losing in the FA Cup final, to a season where we've really struggled. How are you feeling at the minute? Obviously, you've had the investment with any of Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the boys have come in. Where's your head at when it comes to all things Manchester United? How have you felt watching us this season?
This season has been nothing short of disgraceful. I didn't think we would get worse than last season. And we have, magically. Not magically, because you can kind of see where it's gone wrong. But, right now, I just need Ten Hag out. I'm at a stage where I need Ten Hag out. And I need Ineos to come. I know we're not trying to celebrate board signings and all of that, but I can't lie, it's good progress. Omar, Ashworth, these people, looks like they're getting together the best of the best, so that even if you do make stupid decisions, it'll be stupid decisions of smart people. I don't know if that makes sense, but they're trying to make sure that we don't go past below a certain level. Do you know what I mean?
That's interesting. I guess I've got a question. Do you think there's, and Wilcox as well is coming as well, but do you think there's potentially a case of too many cooks? So what's that balance between, because I get it, and that's what I think is happening as well. They're trying to fill the operations and the executive side of the club with people who are the best in class.
Yeah.
There's a period when you have too many smart people in the room. How do we balance? Obviously, it's not your job, but from your perspective, do you feel like we've had so many people making bad decisions for so long that you want as much quality as you can get in? Or do you feel we have to be very careful of that balance of, you know, six smart guys who all think they know what they're doing, who all have a proven track record, maybe combustible?
I like to see it. Because I'm not going to lie, bro, we've had bad people doing bad things for so long. Like, let good people come. Do you know what I mean? Like, fill it. Fill it with the best. Fill it with... You know, I know they always say you can't have 11 world-class players, but honestly, it's a board. It's a business. We should all have the same kind of goal to... Maybe different ways to get into our goal, but let's all have the same goal at the end of the day. Man United haven't had the same goal up there in about... since Fergie. So, it'll be nice for people to come in that actually know what they're doing. Let's just have it. You know what I mean? Let's just... Bro, get them all in, bro. I don't care, bro. I'll be real. Get them all in, bro.
Okay, I'd like to see it. That's I guess not necessarily a bad thing when you put it that way. How are you feeling going into this game? Obviously, Dr. Michael said they're obviously having a really good season. They've lost one game in 2024, and that was to Arsenal. Obviously, Klopp, this farewell tour. They're trying to go out with a quadruple. How are you feeling going into the game?
Shall I be totally honest, bro?
When people say stuff like, shall I be honest? It's like, what were you doing before?
I'm a true liar. Don't believe me. Honestly, I had no clue we're playing Liverpool till about 2 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, wow.
No banter. I swear that. I don't know what's been happening.
Quite the shock.
Yeah. So when I saw, I saw Sky Sports lineups, United versus Liverpool. I said, oh, maybe it's the women, WSL or something, whatever, cool. And I go on and think, FA Cup, I'm like, wrong. We're playing Liverpool. I said, okay. I wasn't ready for this, so I didn't feel anything. Like, I didn't feel anything until kickoff. And then I saw the lineup, I saw McTominay starting, and I said, ah, yeah. Like, kind of what Michael said. Yeah, they might give us 3-4, but let's keep it respectable. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's not go out like punks. But then I saw Højlund was back, which was very nice to see. And I was like, cool, fairs. Maybe 3-1. Maybe.
Fair. All right, cool. Let's go into the actual game. So I want us to try and, because it was such an emotional game, it'd be very easy to start talking about the beginning and just rush all the way to the end. I want us to try and talk through the game in some sort of sequential, like gentlemen, you know? So first half, talk about the second half, talk about extra time. So let's start with the first half from you, Dr. Dr. Michael, see Alex and myself too. How do you feel that the game started?
It started frantic. It starts almost how Liverpool would start if you're playing them at Anfield. Like, United were on top of them, not letting them play out. Very, very, very high press. You saw McTominay and even sometimes Kobbie Mainoo on the edge of their 18-yard box pressing with them on the ball. So that it was good and bad. Sometimes we won the ball, but it was always and obviously that led to the goal, which we'll discuss. But the concern was also if they played through the press, now they're just running free at our defense, which aren't the quickest as well, except for Dalot, who's probably got a bit of pace. And Wan-Bissaka's not too bad, but definitely centre-backs don't have the pace to deal with that. And you've got quick players in Nunes, Diaz and Salah. So that's what I did. I thought it was a bit risky, and I kept on thinking, we can't keep this intensity for 90 minutes. We definitely can't keep the intensity. We kept it for a good 10, 15, probably even 20, and it was a good thing that we got the goal at the time we did, because I think sometimes when you're on top of a team like that, and you don't take your chances, you rue them chances at the end. And luckily, we took advantage of that. And obviously, by the first 10 minutes, we were up.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was so interesting. And it was, I guess, exciting watching us try and go lung for lung with Liverpool. You know what you're getting with Liverpool. You're getting high octane. You're getting guys who are pressing high. You're getting guys who are going to be right in your faces. And we really tried to play Liverpool out there. We really tried to play Liverpool at their own game. But I thought that actually led to quite an entertaining game. And remember, Rashford had a shot from a Garnacho cutback.
That was good. Yeah, that was like 3 minutes in, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a shot from a Garnacho cutback, which was good. McTominay had a couple of opportunities on the break. Messed up both of them. So one, it was like he had Hoyland running towards the left. He had Garnacho free on the right. He even kind of like play on the inside channel for it to like run onto Hoyland's left. Or just playing Garnacho. And he just kind of did neither. He like played it towards the corner flag. And like, obviously Hoyland's like, what are you doing? And he's, you know, it's when you messed up, but then
You got to remonstrate too, man. The cameras are watching, man. You got to make it look like you're passionate. What do you mean?
Exactly. Hoyland went crazy and Garnacho went crazy as well.
Yeah, because Garnacho just like, what's going on here? And it's like, what in the game that was that open, what I did see was a lot of the reason why he does play, he's quick, he's a good athlete. So, and he makes a good third man run. So he's able to like get up. How well he gets back, that's neither here nor there. But you need athletes all over the pitch, right? You need athletes to destabilize on and off the ball. So I could see, I was watching how many areas he was able to get into consistently, and I was like, a lot of this is just because he's mobile. Like, literally just mobile. We don't necessarily have much of that profile. From your perspective, Alex, watching the first half play out, how was it for you?
I missed the first 8 minutes. And I actually missed a lot, clearly. Do you know what I mean? So, from when I started watching, though, Kobbie Mainoo started, I think I tweeted it, started on smoke, like, All the United players were like feeding off the crowd, and I was thinking, okay, like I wasn't expecting this, obviously, but like the way I think is, it's kind of touchy. If I don't know we're playing, I'm way more relaxed. But when I know we're playing, I'm like anxious and like, do you know what I mean? Because I didn't know any, I just thought, okay, cool, let me just watch the game. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So then, obviously, I saw the players starting on smoke. Like I was very impressed. Like Michael said, it was kind of like Liverpool at Anfield. We were giving it to them. Like, you think you can come OT and just do anything? Obviously, I knew it wasn't going to last, but it was a good start. And when we start well, we usually score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we start fast, we usually score. So I was definitely happy with the start we made. And then, obviously, as the half went on, United came out a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the passing, decision-making, runs. I was just like, okay, this is going to be a long day. But then...
It was so interesting to me because that intensity, we were able to keep it up for like 35 minutes. Yeah. And then what was happening is we were definitely getting bodies forward. But then when stuff would break down, they'd just play it behind the midfield, which had pushed up. And they're getting opportunities to like run through. You're seeing like Garnacho bursting along to get back. And it was like, okay, this clearly is not sustainable for us. but it was like 35 minutes, so you got 10 minutes left, and you're thinking we can just kind of, you know, just see out the first half, I guess. And then we got a bit of a taster because we were actually building out of the back pretty decently. Like, Kobbie Mainoo was, like you say, playing out of pressure. Dalot was coming into midfield, playing out of pressure. Onana was using the ball well enough. We had a few of those. You know when goalkeeper has to clip it over and you need to win it? We lost a few of those, but generally we were playing out of the back quite well. But then
I've never seen Dalot do that position, sort of like the John Stones sort of thing, where he comes into sort of the DM position. Ten Hag's got a little trick up his sleeve. I've not seen that before.
This is the thing. I think I've seen it before, like once or twice, but it's not like a regular trope because his preference typically is for Shaw to be that player, right? And then Shaw kind of like comes into the midfield with his distribution, and then once he's like distributed, he'll then push wide. But Dalot was doing a bit of that yesterday, and I think it's been like a pretty good season for Dalot. I think comfortably the best season that he's had
in a United shirt. Yeah, easy. And he looked comfortable there as well. Like, he's got the technique for the position. He could turn. He didn't look phased.
Exactly. And then we had one where we tried to play out. It went to Wan-Bissaka, Escobar, some people call him. Exactly. And he's flicked it into Bruno in a bit of a congested area. Bruno has lost it. And then Wataru Endo scores, and it ends up being just offside. But that was just a little, hey, hold on, guys. It's only like 5-10 minutes to half time. Let's see this out. And we proceeded to capitulate, basically. We continued to capitulate and decided to concede two goals between like the 43rd and the 45th minute of the first half. The first one being the goal from... Why have I forgotten?
McAllister.
That's it. The goal from McAllister. So we now go in 2-1. And what are your thoughts at halftime? Because the first goal, Mainoo kind of gets a touch on it, but it kind of deflects it a bit, and that kind of takes it away from where Onana's hand would have been. But you could see that the guys were a bit leggy at that point. So what were your thoughts? Because McTominay had a chance just before that to make it 2-0. And if you're at 35, 36 minutes-ish, where we'd gone up, we'd open them up, and he'd come to tap it in, and somebody blocked it, maybe Van Dijk or Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
1-1 after I thought what was a really strong half, a half where we were actually unlucky not to score at least one other goal. What were your thoughts when they equalised?
I guess it was just more disappointment that we didn't take advantage of our supremacy. And obviously Liverpool came to suffer that in the second half, which we'll come on to, is that obviously in football, when you're on top, you got to make that count. And the scoreline needs to reflect that. Otherwise, it's like, obviously it's nice to have a good performance, but if you're only 1-0, especially against Liverpool team with the forwards they've got, you know that they've always got a goal in there. It's very, very seldom that they don't score in a game. So if we're going to be on top, especially the physical exertion we put into the intensity, I knew we can't keep that level of intensity up for the whole game. Mm-hmm. And you could, again, talking about the second half, you could see that Liverpool dominate the second half because we didn't have that energy. But then we could switch it on for the last 10 minutes and extra time. So it was just a bit disappointing that we allowed them back into the game. We didn't take advantage of our supremacy. And they got good players. You know, you give... I know Onana, especially with Mo Salah's goal, he saved it, he parried it, he just parried it to him. Salah's not going to miss from 6 yards, is he? Weak foot or not, he's gonna put it into the net. He just checked the linesman onside. All right, cool, thank you.
Nunes is quite... he's quite active, so like he'll make moves which will like send him offside, but then he'll then look and come back onside. So he's always quite involved in attacks, if that makes sense. So he's one you constantly have to like keep an eye on and make sure that you don't kind of lose sight of him, if that makes sense. And
absolutely, he's a handful. That's why he's difficult to play. Obviously, he's tall, he's quick, he's strong, he's a bit gangly. You don't know if he's going to strike the ball cleanly or he's going to just miss kick it. He's kind of unpredictable in that way.
Very active. So it was kind of like, They want a throw on our right hand side, and we had like a lot of our players like on the right hand side, and they've kind of gone all the way back, recycled it back to their centre backs, Kwanda's gotten it and he's seen a gap. And the gap is there because Wan-Bissaka isn't sure if he should go all the way wide to Mo Salah or if he should tuck in.
Tuck in. Yeah. He was caught in no man's land.
He's in no man's land. And so basically, Kwanda just decides, you know what? I'm going to come right through here on a steam train. So he runs through. Rashford lets him get past him way too easily.
Oh, we saw against Luton, Rashford doesn't track back. Like Rashford, I mean, his press can be a bit.
Yeah. Like, he tracks back, but sometimes when it's a time to challenge, ooh.
Yeah, he doesn't get. Like I get it. Like you're not here.
He was quiet for me. He was quiet until the last stages. But yeah, let me hang tight, man. Let me hang tight.
On Rashford, yeah.
So he runs through. Then he plays it to Nunez. Nunez lays it off to McAllister. And it's a really good strike. Like, McAllister, I feel like, grew into the game. Like, when we were doing really well, I feel like he was getting bypassed. He wasn't necessarily doing the best. But then as he grew into the game, it felt like they grew into the game too. And I thought, okay, 1-1. Let's try and see this out. But they were suddenly galvanized. And like you mentioned, got to Apple. That kind of energy that we'd exerted for the first 35 minutes or so, where typically you actually want to be a couple of goals up to A, like justify the energy exerted, but also like that will really put the stake in most teams, not Liverpool really, because
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They love to come back from being behind. Wasn't there. So then they got that goal and then they're like, you know what? We're all right. And then Salah scores. So again, we try and play it out of the back. Bruno Fernandes gets tackled.
Hey, let's discuss that. What's going on with this guy? What's going on with these attempts to just win needless fouls or act like he's been shot or not protecting the ball, not holding the ball? Like, does he think that strength of Man United is going to carry him? So he's just going to get decisions that he probably doesn't warrant? Like, I didn't understand.
Did you think that was a foul?
No, I thought, like, oh, you came from behind. I understand that. But at the same time, this whole dropping to the floor, rolling around, you got to play to the whistle. We've got to play to the whistle. Let the referee deal with that. You can't roll, because especially, there's one thing losing out on a challenge, but there's another thing. You've now just vacated the ball. You're rolling on the ground. Play is continuing. Now you're out the game. You've taken yourself out the game. So you've almost put yourself in the sin bin. Now we're down to 10 men, and because of that, they will score. And you're here because of remonstrated the referee. It's too late for that. So he does that quite a few times, and it's quite frustrating.
Petulant. I think I was thinking back, I switched around the first and second goals in my head. So it was the second goal where we tried to play out the back, and then Wan-Bissaka's played it to Bruno Fernandes, and then Bruno Fernandes has just lost it to Gomez. I didn't think that was a foul either. Crossed it. Nunez has had a shot, parried back into danger by Onana, but it was a
He tried, man. I'm trying to protect Onana, man, because there's a conspiracy against black goalkeepers.
It's a big conspiracy.
There's a conspiracy like Jay Huss against black goalkeepers, man.
I don't know. There's a conspiracy.
They're saying he's guilty. By association.
What do you think? I'm talking about the goal to make it 2-1. Like, obviously, Nunes takes a shot. And Onana parries it back into danger. Do you think he could have done better there, or do you think it's one of those where the keeper couldn't really do much?
Honestly, bro. Okay, the only thing he could have done different is catch it. But then again, no, man, bro. It's just normal. It's just a normal.
What, hitting it out of danger?
Okay, hitting it out of danger, yeah. But honestly,
like, goalkeeping 101. You don't.
What's that? What, parry it out of danger?
Yeah, you don't play it back into a central area because...
One thing I'll give him, he just saved it. He didn't know where it was going. He just saved it. And even me, when I saw it go back to Salah, I was just like,
what's the chance?
They're going to say, no. But really and truly, the defending from Lindelof was poor because Nunes was just running rings around him and then Nunes was free. Then he was like, oh, shit, Nunes. And then Nunes cut back on his right shot and then Salah just tapped in. And Salah's going bold as well, by the way. But anyway...
Cool. So now, after a really good half, which we dominated and we had most of the chances in, we go in 2-1 down. How are you feeling at half time?
Deflated, probably. Like most of the boys are feeling deflated. You know, you imagine you putting all that work, all that physical exertion, tracking back, intensity, press, and the result of that is you're 2-1 down.
Right.
Football's cruel, but the most important thing is the scoreline. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I guess we're lucky that Liverpool didn't take advantage of the ascendancy they had in the second half. You know, I don't know what team talk he had, but the players came out flat. It's like they came out and then it's kind of, they let Liverpool get on the ball. It always seemed that they had an extra midfield player in the second half. Every time... You know you're in trouble when a midfielder is chasing the other midfielder with the ball. You know you're in trouble.
You're seeing the numbers too much. It's crazy.
You'll see the numbers. Maino's number too many times yesterday.
Too many times.
Yeah, we might. I mean, you're
like 7:39. I kept on seeing it. I didn't like it.
Taking us there, so we might as well keep talking about it. I felt like the first 5 minutes or so, we came up with some good intensity. But then after that, it felt like it was all Liverpool. And Alex, I guess we're lucky that they didn't take any of the chances or any of the openings that they had to make it 3-1, really.
3-1, yeah. That would have finished us, I think. I'm very, very grateful they didn't take their chances because I think Liverpool were a bit on a bit of a jolly up as well yesterday, if I'm being honest. Like, they didn't play that well. They didn't play that well yesterday. Their better performers yesterday, usually their consistent performers, should I say, didn't really turn up for me. So we were lucky in that aspect. But then again, you make your own luck because we had to score and we did. So, I don't know. I feel like the game yesterday was a lot of emotion. There was way more emotion in yesterday's game than I witnessed in like other Liverpool United games in recent years.
I mean more derby. So obviously...
I think maybe because this Klopp's last Old Trafford appearance as well.
When we play them again, is that going to be at Anfield, yeah?
Oh, I'll have to check. I can't remember.
I think it's back at Old Trafford. It was 0-0 at Anfield early in the year, in the league.
Okay. And they said that we parked the bus. Yeah, that's true. All right, cool, fair.
Yeah.
But talking about United in the second half as well, yeah? Do you know one thing I really hate about our team, yeah? I saw a graphic which is so funny. And it was our four defenders... massive gap, then two midfielders, I think it was Mount and McTominay, I can't remember, and then the rest of the attackers up top. And I'm just like, you see that gulf in the middle that everybody blames Casemiro for not being able to defend, yeah?
Yeah.
It's getting more ridiculous, you know?
Like, it's we
can't keep doing this. Because City, Arsenal, they'll punish.
Yeah.
So,
you're right.
I'm not loving that gulf in the midfield, but hey, yesterday, like you said, it means more derby. Yesterday was fueled by pure hatred, pure emotion. You can't get better than that, bro. Skill didn't mean much yesterday. Garnacho's pass was rubbish. Somehow, yeah, we're gonna get
that. Hold on. This is what I'm saying.
Sorry, man. This guy, he's still 2-1. This guy took about 4-3.
Followed by means more pod. I said explicitly. It's explicitly what I asked you both not to do at the top, and you both got crazy. You both got crazy.
We slapped Liverpool's head, fam. Sorry, bro. Sorry, bro.
Cool. All right, let's speak on the equalizer, like everyone's favorite Brazilian, Antony. Mm. Good finish, oh, right?
Oh, very good finish. Weaker foot, you know, getting to the 86th minute. Obviously, yeah. Yeah. Been on top.
Yeah.
It looked like the game was just going to peter out. We're like, ah, oh, man, like Ten Hag's going to be, he's got a lot, got to be under a lot of pressure, losing the game just before the international break. Only real chance of silverware, well, the only chance. To be fair,
we still got your eye on the league, yeah.
Hey, man, you never know, man. Go on an amazing run, 30 points.
Hey, Michael, you're killing me, man.
So that's the only chance. So I was like, cool. Yeah. So he got the ball, and he looked sharp when he came on, Antony. I'll give him that. He looked sharp. He's kind of being brought on. I forgot, what's this guy gonna do? What difference is he gonna make? I was a bit pessimistic, but he looked good when he came on, and he's in the center circle. Garnacho passes him the ball. He then turns the other way. I said, this guy turned onto the right foot. I said, the little players on the street, I wasn't expecting this one. I wasn't expecting this one. Went to the right and then just gets good contact on the ball into the far corner. And then it's pandemonium in Old Trafford. Everyone's losing their heads.
It meant a lot. And this is the thing, right? Because he's so right foot biased, they were sitting on his left foot bias, sorry. They were sitting on his left and waiting for him to shoot with his left.
Bro! They Keller. Didn't rate him, you know.
Yeah, I think Keller.
You know he scored because they didn't rate him.
Yeah,
100%. That's a tactic in itself, though.
And then Keller was also waiting for him to go shoot with his left, and that spin, and then it was a proper just, you know what? F it, man. F it. We're shit anyway.
Like, yeah, trust. Yeah, what is it? What is it?
It was a nice shot into the corner. So yeah, like you said, cute. You know what? I want to say cue pandemonium. I didn't celebrate when he scored.
You come like a manager.
No.
you back the water.
I didn't
celebrate. He doesn't.
He had nothing in you.
He doesn't infuse me, bro. Like, I detest him.
So you went from being out of FA Cup to now still being in there. You had no emotion.
Like, FA Cup, like, the magic of the FA Cup has no effect on me.
Woo!
But...
Hey, deport Mariah, boy. Deport him.
Playing Liverpool in the FA Cup, that meant more. So that kind of gave it that extra credence, and I wanted to beat them because of that. So
right.
saying that, obviously now it's 2-2, and it's like, okay, are we just, I don't know. How did you guys feel at full time? Did you think we could win it? Did you think we were just postponing the inevitable? Because really, like you say, Alex, it was a bit of a joke thing. They didn't rate us, so they weren't like attacking with any, even though they were getting through and they were getting into these like 3-on-2s. I think they even had like a 5-on-2, maybe a couple of 2-3 minutes before we actually equalized, where Gakpo plays it to Elliot, then Elliot tries to play it back to Gakpo and it gets blocked, and then Manu makes a tackle. I just think they weren't rating us, but at full time, were you thinking, oh, we've got a chance, or were you thinking more like we're just postponing the inevitable?
I was definitely thinking I want penalties because I like the, you know, you can't tell. What's that word? The surprise, whatever it's called, surprise element of penalties shootout. That's what I wanted. And I wanted to beat them on penalties and limbs in the Stretford end. But the way it ended was obviously better. But did I think we were delaying inevitable? No. I wasn't sure what was going to happen in extra time because I was thinking it depends on what Ten Hag does. Like his in-game management, because if he just goes, if he goes gung-ho, we might get caught slipping. But if he sits back, we could still get caught slipping. So I was just like you said, F it, bro. I just wanted to beat Liverpool. I'll be so real. I just wanted to beat
facts, them. Facts. I think this whole like farewell tour that Klopp is doing, and
it's corny, bro. It's corny.
Like everybody, they're loving him in every city he goes to. It's like, I'm not here for that. So, an opportunity to put a spanner in the works. I'm looking forward to
OT, never much love when you come. OT,
hey, come on,
listen, Dr. Mike, talk us through extra time from your perspective.
Before even extra time, man, okay. We shouldn't even, real talk, we shouldn't even have even gone to extra time.
Okay.
Let's be real about it. Let's be real about it. It was a Christian Eriksen, was it? He floated the ball into Marcus Rashford.
Wasn't that offside?
Yeah, it was offside.
Oh, see, I ran away from the TV. I didn't even see the bar.
No, speak on it, though.
I was thinking, boy, okay, this is the last kick of the game.
That would have been so poetic.
The first touch was crisp. The first touch was correct. Open your body up. That is, it's the Omri goal. You know, you open your body up, right foot.
Bottom right, yeah.
You put it into the corner.
Even Rashford himself has scored that goal a number of times.
He knows that finish.
Rare times.
He knows that finish. Last season, it's a goal.
100.
Yeah.
It's a goal.
After January.
It's a goal last season. But obviously, he's not been in the best form, as we know. So it went to the side of the post. And I ran away in frustration. So I didn't even see the
ball. Oh, did you?
Oh, no. I
didn't know it still means more to you.
Nah. Come on, man. We were out. We were out with 5 minutes to go. And then imagine that in the last minute. We could just twist it. Maybe I'll still gas. I watched Wolves commentary the day before, so that this is football.
FA Cup, the magic of the FA Cup.
The magic of the FA Cup. I know it's lost on you, Mariah, but for me, I was like, it's relit in my heart, boy. So I was thinking we could do it, but then, you know.
If obviously... I asked you about the magic of the FA Cup on Friday evening, what would you have said?
Oh, I'd have been like you. I'd have been like you, arms folded.
Fair enough. Well, let's get into extra time, so... Head of an extra time, a couple of goals or three goals extra time. But talk us through how you felt that extra time kind of started, because Anthony had that chance on his left foot that just went over. And I felt like in extra time we were in the ascendancy. But from your perspective, how did it play out,
brother? Formation went out the window,
bro.
Formation went out the window.
It was like watching a child. On FIFA, I couldn't believe it. I swear at one point we had Bruno, Maguire, Anthony left back.
Dallo right back.
Yeah. There was even a point in extra time, Ahmad and Anthony were both playing right wing. So they were alternating. So when Anthony had the ball, Dallo would just be just behind him and they make a run. Bro, it was the most confusing. Eric Ten Hag. Oh, you went one centre mid in Eriksen. Eric Ten Hag said, fuck it.
There was a period, like, in the first part of extra time where I think Anthony had it on the right and he tried to, like, play in Dallo also on the right. And I think it looked like it was going to go off and Dallo, like, kept it in. And Anthony had it, like, Anthony was like, bickering. I was like, they're fighting for the, even in-game, they're fighting for that spot. You know, which was hilarious to observe. You're right. Everything went out the absolute window. Harry Maguire was up top, like, what the hell? Launching long balls to Baz Maguire.
Hey, man, Marouane Fellaini throwback, man.
And then out of nowhere, really, Harvey Specter makes it 3-2. Alex, 3-2, out of nowhere. How are you feeling?
I was fuming because they didn't even deserve that goal. And it's come, all their goals were mid yesterday, by the way. They didn't score one good goal. They were all crap. Yeah. They were all deflections. Apart from the, it was either a deflection or a save or a rebound. It was meaty. They were so meaty yesterday. Yeah. And why I was so annoyed was because I hate half hearted challenges. Kobbie Mainoo's one wasn't half hearted. It was just unlucky. It happens. But Eriksen just stuck out his foot like, oh, let me just do a thing. And then it's always going to deflect. And I hate it. I was so upset. Because, again, Onana was already going one way. And then you had to quickly try and readjust. And people will start saying Onana's crap. Like you said, big conspiracy, man. So I was fuming at that goal. I didn't care much until that goal went in. I was like, nah, if we lose to this, I'm going to be pissed off for the rest of the week.
Dr. Michael, did you have much hope when it went 3-2 down? Or from your perspective, were you like, this is it, man?
We were playing well. The annoying, when that first Javier Ellis goal went in, I was annoyed because obviously they didn't press him. You can't be letting a man have three shots from the edge of the box. They should have learned from McAllister. Clearly they didn't. But obviously, formation was in the bin. So I didn't even who should have been pressing him at that point. Who? So, but we were playing so well. So part of me was like, we could score another goal with the momentum we have at this moment, and the fact that it wasn't a normal game at that point. Formation at the window. It was just like a basketball game. It was like you shoot, I shoot. So real, okay, cool.
Real end to end stuff, innit?
Real proper end to end, proper entertaining. Obviously, for the managers, must have been sort of stroke city. It must have been heart attack city. But for the neutral, for the fans, hey, fantastic game.
Stroke City, poor
City is crazy, by the way. Stroke City is insane.
Hey, that's the name of the pod, Stroke City.
No, it's not.
No, it's not, brother. That's an Archer Back FC. That's crazy.
I actually took me a second. I was like, oh, he meant that because then he said heart attack. See,
that's the thing, you guys. Your mind's in the gutter, man.
Been
P. Diddy videos. Take that.
You're thinking of fish.
You're not kill me. I said, take that. Go for it. Anyway, yeah, so. He scores at like the 105th minute. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, yeah, that's it, man. This team ain't got it in them to go again, really. And then Rashford finally, because he missed a chance in extra time as well. It was offside, but I want to see you hit the back of the net, son. Like,
Most definitely.
Have a really good chance in extra time, which was offside. But then Rashford takes his chance really well. McTominay, the Warrior, played the whole game pretty much. Rashford, the pass that he played in was so good that Rashford didn't have to take a touch, steady himself, anything. He just shot just before VVD and Kwanza got there.
Could make a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, and Keller wasn't able to respond. It goes 3-3. Talk to me, lads. How are you feeling?
Let's go. It was definitely feeling restored. Let's go. Let's do this, man. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
I was into
the magic of the FA Cup. Then I was like,
you're finally back in.
Yeah. This means more.
Three extra time, you're back in.
I was in, bro. Like, this means more. Like, Anthony's goal didn't move me. I felt nothing when Anthony scored. But the boy
that's come through the academy, right, when that goal went in.
Developed here. It was crazy because the team actually showed a lot of fight. And that's always interesting because we've seen how they've played under other managers. They've downed. I don't know if that fight they showed was indicative of a belief in Ten Hag, or was it because they were playing or was it because they were playing Liverpool and the crowd were just into it. But yeah, Rashford's goal sent me to the moon. I'm not even going to lie to you guys, man.
They found it from somewhere. I don't know where it came from, because for the second half, they were out of it. They were deflated. There was nothing in them. Then Anthony's goal just rejuvenized them. They found some sort of desire from somewhere, wherever it came from, whether it's the manager, whether it's their pride, whether it's the FA Cup, whether it's Liverpool, who knows? But they found that desire, fight and will from somewhere. And yeah, from 3-3, I was like, that's when I was confident.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/SBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
I thought we could do it.
Yeah, we had Liverpool on ropes at that point. Like, I could confidently say we had Liverpool on ropes. We had Liverpool on ropes in the extra time. Extra time was off, which is crazy because we had like a 2-1-1-1-1-1 formation, which was just mad. So I don't know how they did it, but like Michael's saying, yeah, sometimes, bro, sometimes United judge is just strong, fam. I'm not gonna lie, bro.
Because Eriksen playing the quarterback position, getting on the ball, spraying it around the pitch.
That's all he did.
Bruno hobbling at centre back.
All he was doing was 40-yard passes, a nasty bugger, man.
No, he was shocking yesterday, bro.
That was a shocking appearance.
He was like, shocking.
It actually seemed all right a bit, to be honest, in that break, even when we went like 3-2 down. They were talking. This is what Klopp does. Any break, all he's saying to you guys is, it means more. It means more. Come on.
Yes.
It means more. Just give me
a passion merchant.
Right. Yes. I'm so proud of you guys. This means more. This is it. Take that. All of that stuff.
Mariah, you clocked that as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like in the Carabao Cup final, that's what he'd do at every break. Just gas them. Just gas them up a bit.
That's what he was doing yesterday. He was just like, and they were all just like, yeah. And Ten Hag was like, you go there. Antonio left back. How about some tactics, brother?
They'll run through brick walls for Eric Ten or Klopp. Sorry, so I think.
But it looks like United players are running through brick walls for Ten Hag, though. I can't lie to you. You know, I've been saying this for the last 4, 5, 6 games. Even though, okay, we might play shit, yeah, but bro, they're actually trying. Some of them.
Yeah, I think a good deal of them, like Garnacho. No matter what you think about him, he's out there, pure dog, and he's getting it done. Like he's
pure effort.
Getting it done.
You
see him like creating football. Like I say, like nothing's going on. He'll take it. He'll swivel. He'll beat a man. All right, guys. I know like you got to hop off in 5. Mm. The goal, Ahmad winner. Shirt up. Means more. Talk me through it, lads.
The moment. Obviously, it was Ahmad won it himself off Harvey Elliott.
Yeah. He had been doing that.
He tracked back earlier and won the ball back when they were making a break. So he worked. He set socks off. Obviously, especially.
He was even the one who won it for the 3-2. He won it.
Yes.
Yeah, McTominay carried it. And
It was Ahmad.
Yeah, so they played the corner. It comes out, he wins it off Elliott, and then it's him and Garnacho. Thoughts on how nasty that pass from Garnacho was,
but not
hey, 120 not minutes you,
man.
Of running Garnacho's up and down, man. Hey,
Michael, he
was running for 120 minutes, man.
I hear that, but no, it doesn't mean no. What he did was nasty because he wanted the glory, he wanted
it's a sabotage thing.
100% because he offered it back immediately. His hand was already out. Bro, I watched the highlights bare time. His hand was already out. Trust me.
Before he passed it, he was already pointing, like, give it back, bro.
Give it back there.
He wanted the back page of the sun. He wanted his name in highlights.
Ahmad kind of hit Bradley with a hit him with a hesitation dribble, like Kyrie Irving sort of thing. Slow down. Bradley kind of went to like go in and bite, and then he went past him, and then right in the bottom corner, man. Oh, that kid in the crowd, tears in my eyes, man.
This is football.
This is football 2024, the magic of the FA Cup, man. You don't have to sell me on the magic of the FA Cup no more.
Yeah, hey, you'll be back in.
I'm back in, brother.
You're back in. You think we can win it now?
I'm back in, my guy. I'm back in. I'm all in.
We can definitely win.
I'm all in.
You think it's winnable now? You're back in.
We can win it.
We're not covering the semis. And we're both playing for the right to lose to City in the final. That's what.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea can beat City, though. I can't lie. I think Chelsea can beat City.
They did really well.
They're against the only team that could have beat them in this draw, Chelsea.
They did really well against them in the league
4-4.
And I think the 1-1, the 1-1 that they played like a month or two ago. But I think Poch has always just had a good grasp of how to make things difficult for Pep. But this is Wembley, man. This is Wembley. This is big stage. City are not new to this anymore. They are, to a man, they're true to this. So we'll absolutely see. But Coventry, that should be a win, comfortable win. So that's two FA Cup finals in 2 years. Let's say, let's dream. Let's dare to dream. Let's say we win it. And that's two trophies in 2 years for Ten Hag. Alex, you wanted him gone at the top of the pod. Would you still want him gone?
Yeah, yeah, he can go and it'll be good for him, like his confidence and that, like, he showed that, okay, I come United, I can win a little cup competitions and that. Like, it'll be good for his confidence, like, but he still needs to go, like, we don't need this. This is cute, it's funny, it's ha ha ha, magic of the FA Cup, ha ha. Bro, he needs to cut, fam, because, bro, if I go through one more season of this heartache, bro, this crap football, I can't do it, man.
We saw a couple of games with Martinez back in the mix, Luke Shaw was about as well, and the ball was flowing, footballing, Casemiro was in there. Are you not of the opinion, and the reason I'm asking, not that I particularly believe myself, but I think we're all saying we want him. I want to see if there's any scenarios where people wouldn't mind keeping him. Get him in the right place. I think there's going to be a lot of players gone this summer. Maguire's going to be gone this summer. Malaysia, wherever the hell he is, if he's still alive, he'll be gone this summer. Donny van der Beek, Jadon Sancho, Casemiro, McTominay. Going to get rid of a good number of first teamers. So money's going to come in. And we already have money coming in financially. We've had a good year. If we can get, and we're getting all these best-in-class people like you've mentioned, Alex, if we can get people in, they're able to get in the right profile. Do you have no confidence that with the right players, he can do well?
No. No, oh, wow. I don't. I'll be real. I don't. Because
why not?
Okay, yeah. Cool. I'll tell you why I think that. Because at the beginning of the season, we were shit, and he had everyone. So
did we remember Martinez carrying an injury? Hoyland hadn't, you know, come. Hoyland hadn't started because he had the back issues. Rashford started poorly. I don't know. I'm just trying to play a bit of devil.
I know what you're saying, but it just feels like nothing's gonna change much. Like, maybe we'll get like 0.5% better, but bro, like, his football's shocking. The guy doesn't have a plan B or plan C. His in-game management's rubbish. Given better players, he'll just fail better. He'll fail easy. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he'll be better. He'll look better failing. But nah, man, he's not for me, man. He's out of his depth. Honestly, genuinely, I believe that. He's out of his depth. He takes no accountability for his actions. I gave him a chance, bro. Trust me. I gave him a big. I was like, no, I was half.
You're a family man. You're a fair guy. You're a family man.
Yeah, man. I'm diplomatic.
So they say. So what I was going to say to you is that, okay, cool. We spoke about the game. We're through to the final. Let's have a quick chat about the top five battle, because obviously English teams have done well in Europe, so it looks very much like, barring like a catastrophe, we're going to get five Champions League spots for next year. Taking a quick look at the table, we've got Aston Villa, who've played 29 games. They have 56 points. Tottenham Hotspurs, they've played 28 games with 53 points. We've played 28 games and we've got 47 points. Is there any part of you that has any sort of confidence? Let me just read out the next five fixtures for each team. So we've got Brentford away next, Chelsea away, Liverpool at home, Bournemouth away, Newcastle at home. Villa have West Ham away, Wolves at home, City away, Brentford at home, Arsenal away. And Spurs have Luton at home, West Ham away, Forest at home, Newcastle away, Arsenal at home. So we have to basically outperform. We have to, between now and the end of the season, we have to pick up. We have to pick up quite a gap. We've got to finish above Spurs. We've got to pick up 7 more points than Spurs pick up between now and the end of the season. So 7 more points out of the last 30. And to do better than Villa, oh gosh, so they've got 9 games left. So the most points they can finish with is 27, 76, 84. And the most points we can finish with is 77. Oh, I don't think we're catching just doing that math right there. No, I don't think we can catch
Villa. the most we can finish on is 77 and they're on 56.
Yeah, I don't think we can catch Villa. They'd have to have an absolute implosion.
Stinker. Yeah.
They'd have to have an absolute implosion for us to be able to catch Villa, because yeah, the most points they can finish with is 83. So we have to outperform them again by, I think, similar. Well, if we have to, yeah, we have to outperform them, I think, by a similar amount of points as well to City. We have we have to outperform them by 7 points as well. Do you see that happening, that we can outperform either Spurs or Villa by 7 points?
I think if Højlund stays fit,
okay,
and this is a and if this is a turning point for Rash, whatever that may look like, I think we can outperform Spurs. Honestly, I think we
really
can. Yeah, but it's Villa. I feel like Villa are just gonna stay there. Like, win, lose, or draw, they're just going to be fourth all season.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see them really moving.
Yeah. When it was LBG and it was like, we just stayed fourth. Like, first, fourth. Second, fourth. Third, fourth. Yeah. Fourth. Fifth, fourth. Like, we just kept coming back to finishing. I don't know if it was fourth or fifth, but it was a season where, under LBG, regardless of what result we got, and what
we were just fourth.
We just stayed fourth the whole season.
That's what I think is going to happen to Villa, because they've worked hard enough to get to this point. They have 17 wins already. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah,
right.
I think they've worked hard enough to stay there, and they've done their thing. But I think we can trounce Spurs, man. I think we can, bro. I think we can. Like, them losing to Fulham.
They got quality. Like, let me just...
I know, but getting smoked by Fulham. Getting smoked by Fulham 3-0.
We did, bro. We lost to Fulham comfy.
3-0, though.
But we lost to them comfy, brother. Don't forget that, man.
I hear that still.
We lost to them. We lost to them comfy. I've come up on, like, discussing football with you, and you've been adamant Chelsea are shit for years and years and years. And obviously now they're on the table, so you feel justified. But I think sometimes the homer in you, the Manchester United fan in you, can just be like, it means more to me. We'll find a way. Somehow, some way, we'll get it done. But I don't see it. You know what? F it. New manager, Europa League. Hopefully, we get to see some of them, like, promising young players. So,
yeah, true.
The long defender, Kambala, who's had injuries for a few years, but he's playing a bit now. We've signed a contract with that Harry Amass. So, that left back, there's a lot of, like, hopes around him. Ahmad, who I'm hoping will stay and will actually get some regular minutes. Højlund will continue to develop. He's only 20, 21 now. Nacho's still really young. So, yeah, Thursday night, F it, man. Thursday night footy, brother. But
then again, I was at a place where I thought, bro, it's either Champions League or I just don't want to be in Europe.
Because... Nah, bro, we can't afford not to be in Europe. Like, this whole, like, everybody wanting this one game a week thing, that's why Mar can't get no game time, you know? Guys can't get no game time, you know? If maybe we were playing two games a week, maybe Bruno would have had a young hamstring out for three.
He looked finished yesterday, though.
Yeah, that's the most tired I've ever seen. I think he had a dead leg, so he'll be back. You know, he'll be back. Like, this is the most durable footballer I've ever seen in my life.
In my lifetime.
I've never seen a footballer able to just. Play. There was a time his leg was in a boot, only missed or not. He played the next game in the league.
Bro, he was in a boot on Friday and started on Sunday. He took a picture with his wife on the sofa and he was in a boot, bro.
Listen,
bro, it doesn't make sense. He's definitely on Compound V or something, bro. He's definitely on something.
1920, obviously, he like was across the two teams, but he played 31 games and he played 50 games or comps. 2021, 37 in the league, 58 all comps. 21-22, 36 in the league, 46 all comps. 22-23, 37 in the league, 59 all comps. This season so far, 27 in the league, 38 all comps. The guy is going to play the last 10 league games. That's going to bring him up to 48. Then he'll play in the FA Cup semis. That's going to be 49. So, barring anything, he should be, again, playing 50 games, bro. And he doesn't really come off the bench. That's 50 games, and it's like 48, 49 starts. It's crazy. Crazy run.
Yeah, and then people try to use his numbers against us. But he plays every flipping minute. He better be doing something.
I know what my eyes see. You can't
convince me. You can't fool us, bro.
Exactly. So obviously Enios is all the rage. They've come in, things have been signed off. Just want to quickly talk about the fact that they've paid 120 million from the club debt following some investment. So Manchester United's latest filing to the US Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, for those of you who are in the know, reveals that $120 million has been cleared from their revolving credit facility following Sir Jim Ratcliffe's £234 million cash injection. When United released their financial results for the second quarter of the financial year on Tuesday, that's Tuesday just passed, it showed their debt totaling $773 million, which excludes money owed in transfer fees. But late on Wednesday night, a more detailed filing to the SEC showed that on February the 28th, United had paid off $120 million worth of debt, reducing their overall debt down to $653 million. The club's revolving credit facility, think of it as a credit card, has a limit of $300 million, and the balance sheet now stands at $140 million, down from $260 million following the payment. So, Ratcliffe, baby, we all in. Hearing that, obviously, when you think about the debt, you think about the fact the club had no debt and the Glazers put this debt on the club and have not financed it and have spent most years just paying down the interest. But Ratcliffe already putting his money where his mouth is. When you hear that kind of thing, obviously, I know the financials is more for our boy Elijah Bolongoli, but when you hear this kind of thing, how does that make you feel?
Generally, you're honestly, I don't care that much, but it just shows that
I respect you, brother.
Yeah, I don't care. It's not my money. But I'm happy that we're moving in a positive direction. I feel like good vibes starts from the top.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone's feeling good at the top, it will flow down onto the pitch. If the club's being run well, the players will be serious. That's how I feel. I don't feel like you can go to Manchester City and just do anything you want, because there's too much order and respect and hierarchy, bro. You'll be gone. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So, like, I just feel like if our club's being run well enough, yeah, man, it's good terms, bro. I just the Glazers, bro. That's just horrible. That was just a horrible time for us. It's been horrible. So, yeah, man, I'm just happy that we're finally getting some sort of, you know what I mean, some sort of order in this place, man. Well, our club's too big to fail. So
that's what they say. What some of the, you know, some of the financial figures we've seen in the last few years have been very scary. And then just a quick bit on your thoughts about the whole new stadium malarkey. So there's an independent task force being led by Sir Sebastian Coe. Jim Ratcliffe has kind of deferred a lot of the other operational stuff, but he's on this task force. So there's kind of two choices. There's build a whole brand new stadium, and I think they mentioned it costs like $2-3 billion, or there's a refurbishing and a renovating of Old Trafford Stadium, I think over 100 years old at this point.
114, yeah.
Where would you be? Would you want to see the historical stadium stay there and it just be improved on? I mean, when you compare, like, I've got to go up the stairs and it's so leaky and stuff, and when you comparing it to like an Emirates, comparing it to a Wembley, comparing it to Spurs Stadium, it's like going back into the Stone Ages. Or would you want to see the club just build a whole brand new stadium? Where's your preference?
I would like a new Trafford. I would like a new stadium, like what Spurs got. That thing, Spurs' stadium is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of Tottenham. So, and we've got Manchester, where there's more land, there's more space, the air's better, the air's cleaner. So I don't understand why we can't just build a new stadium, man. But again, I wouldn't be against the renovation though. Like, at least let's just get a screen in our stadium. You know what I mean? We don't even have a screen, bro.
2024, bro. It's
2024,
scary.
Bro. We're still looking at scoreboard.
When you're like, when you talk and stuff, it happens and you miss it. That's it. You have to tell you like what happened. It's hilarious, actually.
That's why you have to film every counter attack at Old Trafford on Snapchat so that you can watch it back, bro. Because otherwise, everybody knows that. Everybody knows when you go to Old Trafford, film every attack.
Yeah, everybody has to either have somebody recording with them, or you're just glued to the pitch because there's no absolute opportunity to play back. I'm excited. Obviously, there was a lot of talk. Sir Jim Ratcliffe said, or Sheikh Jassim, should I say, Sir Jim Ratcliffe said, I'm not even sure if he's the brother's real.
Brother, it's definitely like, someone in Nigeria.
He's come in and he's putting his money where his mouth is, but you expect that somebody worth the amount of billions that he's worth. It's an exciting period, and obviously the goal is that in the next 3 to 5 years, well, I think he said 3 years, we're right up there challenging with, I shudder, the cities, Liverpool and Arsenal's of this world. And it's all part of the long-term plan of just getting the Glazers out of the club, you know?
He's a United fan, isn't he, Ratcliffe?
After countless steps and more than a few miles, your dog drives you forward one last time to make that final climb. And as the rising sun peeks out from the horizon, you know, incredible happens here because it starts here with the fuel that makes it all possible. Pro Plan Sport. Discover advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours at ProPlansport.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
When migraine strikes, you're faced with a choice. Ride it out with the trade-offs of treating or push through the pain and symptoms. With Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant, there's another option. Ubrelvy is a prescription medicine used to treat migraine attacks in adults and is not for prevention. One dose works fast to eliminate migraine pain. Most people had pain relief and some even had pain freedom within 2 hours. Treat it anytime, anywhere, without worrying where you are or if it's too late. People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack.
Do not take with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors or if allergic to Ubrelvy. Allergic reactions can happen and may occur hours to days after use. Get medical help right away if you have swelling of the face, mouth, tongue, or throat, or trouble breathing. The most common side effects were nausea and sleepiness.
Ask your doctor about Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Find more product information at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by AbbVie.
He is. He was linked to buying Chelsea at a time, but he's a Manchester United fan, they say. Mm-hmm. So it means more. He's in his 70s now, so he's made a predominant amount of money. But something like a football club is like especially as a historical club like Manchester United, it's an asset, you know, that will just stay there. I don't know, like, what his, like, if he's got kids or, like, whatever the case is, who would own the club after him or whatever the case may be. But, like, a lot of the time when these kind of billionaires buy these kind of institutions, they do it to be able to do what the Glazers did. Because it's worth so much, so Manchester United worth about $6 billion or so, you can actually leverage you can take out money and leverage it against the club. Like, listen, worst case is worse, and I'm not able to pay you your money back. You can have the club. That's what it kind of allows you to be able to do. So he doesn't need the money. He's doing that out of pure love, passion. And I think anyone who's able to bring Manchester United back to its former glories, they'll be revered around the world. You know, their names will be sung on the rooftop. We're in a kind of day and age now where we like know the owner so well and people can't really hide. We know it, all the intimate details of your life nowadays, and people know about FSG and the Cronkays and Bowley and his group and stuff. So he has an opportunity, a really big opportunity. And I don't think it's hard to get to at least like a competent level. You know, we've got an academy which is constantly producing really good footballers. If we're a team that's doing really well, you can sell those players for a good profit. Like the guys we've sold in the last few years going for like 15 million and stuff, they're all proven to be like Premier League top level players. But because it's not a good club, we don't get good money for them, you know? So just being a club that's respected at home and on the continent is where we want to be, and just being able to enjoy watching your team play. So I, for one, I'm just sitting back, can't wait for this season to be over. Another bit of a 2-week break. I think the last break we had was that January where we didn't play very much. And then we just go again, one last like final sprint to the end of the season. If Ten Hag can potentially win a trophy, that's a nice little garnish. But I'm with you. I think he fills me with no confidence whatsoever. So I think it'd be probably for the best for him to go somewhere else, respectfully
and disrespectfully. But yeah. Thanks for the memories, brother, but time's up, man.
Yeah, man. Let's finish with some listeners' questions. First one is from United CM98. Shout him out, Connor, long-term listener of the pod. Is Wan-Bissaka too good to sell? As the second choice, there's not many better options out there, surely. What do you think?
So Wan-Bissaka too good to sell? No, this is the best time to sell him. You get most money, man. I was happy with him yesterday. I liked what he did yesterday. By the way, you can't win the ball off him. You can't take the ball off him, you know. Like, I know he looks so calam doing everything, but you actually can't. He's so press resistant.
Mm.
Cool. I'm giving more reasons to keep him, aren't I? But no, we've seen what it is, man. Like, we've seen what it is. Like, he could go for solid 30 million.
He should be able to. He's definitely a starting right back. But I think that's it, the question. You get rid of him, who would you bring in? Firstly, are you happy with Dalot being our starting right back?
At the moment, for now, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we all wanted Marlon Gusto and we didn't get him.
Yeah, and he's doing at Chelsea. So my question for you then is then you'd be looking to get a backup to Dalot. I don't expect you to have a name at the top of your head. You're not a scout. Mm. But are you... I think it's a good question because obviously he's English, homegrown. That's He is a good player for those kind of like individually difficult one-on-one wide men matchups. I don't quite call him press resistant, but he's got a kind of janky way of being able to like keep the ball and it looks horrible, but stuff happens. But also like when he was making runs up the wing, I think Klopp didn't really give Salah any specific instruction to like chase back. So I think it wasn't until like he linked up with Rashford or maybe Bruno a couple of times, I think then Klopp was like, go back with him. He's not the biggest threat in the final third is basically what I'm saying. But we sell him for 30 million. We go back into the market and see what's out there. Yeah? Do you trust?
Because I'll be real, didn't we want Timber last season as well?
We did.
Timber's looking decent for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Huh? I said Timber, when he played, he was looking decent. So There's guys on the continent. I'm obviously, like you said, we're not scouts, but I'm sure there's fullbacks out there that can do a decent job defending and attacking. Like, just decent. 15, 20 million, 25 million. How much we got Malasia for, basically? I think left-back is a more pressing issue, if you ask me, than Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Fair. I like the look of Robinson at Fulham, but he's probably going to cost a bit of money. I know loads of people are talking about him now, really.
He's good.
So there's a couple of options out there, okay, cool. All right, so you'd still get him out.
I still sell him.
Slim Popper underscore pause. To all the fellow believers, how's that Ahmad vindication feeling?
We up, baby. Hey, I feel like a couple man in lockdown when BTC was flying, bro, because. You see all the meme coins, and people are like, why would you put your money in that? Some people are million. Huh?
Dogecoin.
Solana and them man there. Ethereum and them man there.
Solana's still feeding families, by the way.
Exactly. And so is BTC. Ahmad is at BTC. Hey, Ahmad is my BTC. I feel like my man in 2008 when he said, invest in BTC, bro. Because Ahmad.
My thing to you is obviously he got sent off, so I think it means he misses the semi. I don't think it misses.
No. He misses the Premier League, no?
I don't know. I thought it was Premier League, but I think somebody in the chat said he misses the semi. I'm not sure now. I should check that. But do you think this is a thing I erroneously said that Ahmad would miss the FA Cup semi-final and the red card, but in fact, he'll be banned for the game against Brentford. Okay, so...
He's going to miss the Premier League game.
Yeah, I didn't think it was specific to the thing, but then somebody said it was, but okay.
It's an FA competition, isn't it?
Do you think he'll get a rondo?
Ahmad getting a run this season, maybe not a run, but like he will definitely. I hope he'll be coming off the bench now. Right? You know what I mean? You see them 75-minute subs, 70-minute subs when we say this, like we see Anthony coming on. I hope he'll be Ahmad instead. But again, I don't know. £95 million, you bet your life on this player. I see why Anthony plays or why he tries to shoehorn him in, but bro, man, us are mad believers. We just knew, yeah, he just needs to play. He just needs to be on the field. He went to Sunderland, killed it, came back, didn't get much game time. And man's all giving cryptic messages. Like, bro, he shouldn't be in this position. Like, he's too good. He's just too good at the game of football to be in this position, in my opinion. So he just needs game time, bro. He's better than Antony by far. Like, it's not even a competition. So it's like, I don't understand why he can't get game time. But again, I do understand, but I don't want to understand. Do you know what I mean? He just needs to play, bro. Like, he just needs to play. How many players can do that first touch that he did yesterday? Like, how many people naturally just think, okay, let me slow it down, and they're just going to do bullshit, bro. Do you know what I mean? We know our attackers, bro. We know what they're on.
Do you know what the maddest thing is, though? I would love him where Bruno plays. Like, he doesn't necessarily have the devastating, like, burst pass of Premier League fullback pace. What he'd really got is technically secure. He's good under pressure. He can retain possession. He can play the right passes. But again, we won't. And I don't know if that's part of the reason why he's not necessarily playing much, because Ten Hag doesn't see him as a winger. The clear role is Bruno's. But like we said, Bruno plays every single game. Mm-hmm. He plays every single game. So it's really, really tough for him. But I think Anthony's goal puts him back in the mixer as well. Garnacho seems to be undroppable. I think ETH likes having that dynamic front three who are all really mobile. It disrupts teams quite well. So I think it's gonna be a lot, man.
It's gonna be techie. I don't think Ahmad gets much game time under Ten Hag, period, in my opinion. But
yeah,
that's another reason why I want him to go. Because I feel like his talent ID is shocking. And he refuses to make the hard decisions. Like, cool, you got out Ronaldo, you got out De Gea, cool. But a lot of that just seems self-serving. Kind of just seems for his own ego. Do you know what I mean? It feels like it's less about the club. It feels like it's more about him. Because, bro, the hard decisions are taking off Bruno. Why can't you take off Bruno? We see captains come off all the time. I see armbands changing thing all the time, bro.
But I think he feels like our success is intrinsically linked to Bruno. So it's like...
Then he's already mad.
But I think it's like those people who, when you sell them, Bruno's not good, and they bring you top three in chances created and this stuff and this stats. He probably reads the same thing. And yeah, Bruno loses the ball quite a bit, but who else would you want to have it? Like, McTominay loses the ball quite a bit. You could say we have turnover prone attackers, and the fact that they're like dynamic one-on-one guys, none of them are really like the playmaker sort of wide man, you know. So I think he just intrinsically links our success to Bruno. The fans love Bruno. There's a post-game interview where Bruno shouted out Antony for going to left back, which he was moaning and throwing a hissy fit about. Antony for going to left back, and then a guy interviewing him says, "But I just want to also let you know that, you know, everybody loves you here. We see how hard you work. You never stop running, etc., etc." So the fans love him. The match-going fans love Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, because he runs till it hurts, bro. Literally. Like, I saw a fan tweet yesterday, these guys want Bruno out of our club, but who else would go centre-back? And for the last 20 minutes, I was thinking, shut the hell up, bro. Like, you lot don't see past the bullshit, and that's the problem. Bruno's so good at mind games.
It means, I don't think he chose to go centre back though.
No, but he's good at mind games.
It means more though, bro. It means more. Like, passion, he's given them that. When there's nothing else for you to be able to hold on to, that means a lot to fans, you know?
But they don't remember the days when he was thrown in the towel, when the going got tough against Liverpool and that, against City and that. Hey, but it's now that they remember. Like, man. Full of shit, man.
Next one. Ruler of Gap. That game pretty much confirmed ETH coming back, right? If they're good at their jobs, absolutely not. You do not get caught up in that and think, oh, you know what? Let's bring this fella back. You think fucking.
You think, thank you. Because, brother, that extra time was scary. Let's not lie. Yeah, if we lost, you know what they would have said. That was scary, bro.
Yeah, that was a... It was crazy to watch. Like, just get your troops, reset. It was just like... Those two guys just swinging. And then whoever got the last swing knocked the other guy out, and we obviously did. If we went pens, we was losing, by the way.
Oh, with that squad?
We was losing. I hope you know that.
Oh, 100%. I know. But, you know, passion, you know?
Yeah. Next question, Elusivus. Thoughts on the club not spending in Jan when their financials show there was room within the FFP restrictions?
Okay, but spending in Jan by who? By what?
You rarely see good business being done in Jan. It'll just
change. Yeah, we got Bruno in Jan.
Chelsea, yeah. Chelsea last year where they got all these loots on and a half year connies. And a half
yeah,
year.
Man.
7.5 years. You signed a man in 2023, a contract to 2030, fam.
That's crazy. That's insane.
Not even a 360, them 720 deals. Them 720.
We need to go there somehow with 100 million and take some players. I won't lie to you, brother.
Just push it across the table. Just say, put on the table all the players that are for sale. Here's 100 all in. When you come back in, whoever's left is who you guys get to keep. You know? Would you take Raheem Sterling?
This version of him, he's scary. And I'm one of his biggest supporters, but this version of him?
Do you know what, though? People say this version of him, I was having a chat about him earlier today. He missed chances all the time at City too. The only difference is...
I agree.
He had loads of chances. So I actually don't even think he's changed as a player. I just think the fact now he's in a team that is not necessarily the... No, not necessarily. He's not the most potent attacking one. Like, some games he'd missed 2-3 chances.
I agree.
And then he just get another one and finally get his goal. Same thing you watch with Haaland, right? Players will forever miss big chances. The guys who score the most goals are also the guys who are at the top of the list for big chances missed. What goal scorers have in common is the ability to get chances, not just, oh, you both scored 25. When you dig into the detail, it's the ability to be able to get chances for yourself in a football game that leads to you being a top scorer. How well you convert those chances is then like how good of a finish.
I don't think his only issue is converting chances. I think his all-around technical level has dropped, because I do remember Sterling City, bro. He can still beat his man and he will still make some nice passes. At Chelsea, he's doing kind of that sometimes, yeah. Because I watch Chelsea, I hate watch them, yeah. But like at the same time, bro, I feel like he's gone down a level. I won't lie. I feel like he's gone down a level. Maybe it's his confidence, maybe he doesn't care that much. I don't know. But I saw somebody say that he needs to be a role model to the players or something like that. I don't know about all of that, man. That's kind of questioning his character for me. But technical level for me has gone down, man. I won't lie. Because I'm a Sterling fan. I love Sterling, bro. I've been fighting for Sterling for years. So, I don't know. I don't look at him now and think, I'll stick him in my team. I know what we've got is not better, but you know what I mean?
Though? I know what you mean. He'll be on like 350, whatever. Now, I'm just trying to think what Chelsea players you might want. Obviously, you're not getting Malo Gusto. You're not getting any of their centre-backs. You're not getting any of those midfielders. So... yeah.
Oh, you think we can only get attackers?
Who do you think they'd be willing to give up?
But they have to sell. So that's what I was thinking. That's the kind of along the lines of what I was thinking of. They have to sell this summer.
But they're not selling Saicedo. They're not selling Enzo.
Gallagher. They've got Lavia, haven't they?
Yeah. Do you think they're selling him?
I don't know. He ain't played a game.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with that, to be honest with you. Can't even speak on that. Would you want to sign him off the back of a whole season out?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of Calvin Phillips-y, isn't it? I know.
He's class, though. Like, Phillips was out of his depth at City. He's definitely class, but what the hell's kept you out for a whole season?
Yeah, yeah. If it's not HIV or not.
Jesus is Lord, man. Next question, man. Halfway line 5. Do you think people have already decided their feelings around Rash? I feel like no matter how he plays, people always come with this lazy narrative that his use of the ball is poor. He's lazy, etc. When quite a few times this season... that has not been the case at all.
Oh, yeah, I think they made up their mind on Rashford a long time ago, not just in 2024. I think Rashford, even last season when he was scoring 30 goals in all comps, yeah, man was still saying, bro, it doesn't matter. Rash could score 30 goals. He could have scored 30 goals again this season. They'll still find something to say, bro. I don't know what it is about Rash that's so polarizing. To me, he's a likable character. Maybe, and it's not just because he plays for my club, because I'm a big fan of players. Do you know what I mean? I buy into players as well as clubs. So, people have made up their mind. I tweeted something today. Rashford is 26 years old. He's been getting criticised and called names for at least 5 years. 6 years. Do you know what I mean? So everyone's made up their mind, especially the fans, United fans. I feel like they're turning at a quicker rate than I ever expected. For someone that's carried the club, everybody credits Bruno with this lockdown football thing when it was really Garnacho. Wow. It was Martial, Rashford, Lingard, and Bruno, and Pogba.
Right. It was a whole bunch of talented.
It was a collective effort.
So. Yeah. Obviously, he did this whole thing with the Players Tribune, and obviously, he clearly loves the club. But I think you're right. Like, his good play is not appreciated.
No.
And when he's playing bad, people, the club and the fans don't put their arms around him either. And to be honest with you, I get that he's been here since he was a kid, but why do you continue to like sign up for that? It's baffling. Loyalty's an interesting
Loyalty is a very interesting thing, bro. You're right. And comfort, though. You know when you're comfortable somewhere?
His family's there. He knows the city. Yeah, and the next question from the same guy, halfway line five. Do you think Rash is top three most underappreciated, hated players in the last decade?
In Premier League or in Man United?
I just asked it openly. Manchester United. I mean, Pogba's top for me. And then I think it would be him right after Pogba, to be honest with you. I can't think of...
Who would you put third?
The third most hate, maybe Harry Maguire?
But like we're talking hated in comparison to performance levels.
No, I think just generally hated. Or under. Okay, he said...
Underappreciated, yeah. So they do all right, but we hate them too much.
Okay, so I wouldn't put Maguire in that. So Pogba, Rashford, and...
You're going to have to put Bruno, brother. Sorry.
Why?
Sorry. You kind of have to. Because we hate him. We hate him like he's done absolute rubbish for the time he's been here. But if we're being honest, trust me, I hate the fella. Oh, bro, I hate him.
Bro, no. Let's put this on wax. I am being honest. What he does is not football. That is not football, bro. It's not an underappreciation thing. That's not ball. Like, it doesn't lead to long-term successful outcomes, the way he plays football. That's always been my issue. You didn't hear me slandering much last season because last season he actually was a lot more economical with the ball. And he actually
made
good decisions with the football. Play with sense. And you won't get it. That's it. You play nonsense. Mm. So listen, not on my watch, bro. You're not getting Bruno. Not on my kin watch. On my watch. Who else?
Who
underappreciated.
Who performs all right? And we just
Lingard.
Lings. Jay Lings. I think final
right. It felt like it was a time where him and Rashford were just like. Hated. Let me throw some names. So Lingard, Martial. I'm trying to think. There's not many players where I feel like the fan base have really hated like that, though.
Yeah. And have you noticed something? They've all got something in common. Amen. Amen.
You said it, not me. Like, listen, Rashford, as talented as he is, like, I was watching a comp of the goals he scored against the top six teams and variety of finishes. Strong, fast, can strike the ball. The performances, the up and downs in performances that he have is not good enough. Like, he should now be at a level where his baseline level should be like 15 goals or comps. He has a season, the season before last, he had 5 games in 32, 4 games in 25 in the Prem. And then
4 goals in 25 games
in the Prem. This season, he has 7 in 27 in the Prem. 8 and 35, like he should be 15 all comps every
minimum.
Season.
Minimum,
like 1 in 3 minimum. 45 games, 15 goals should be his baseline level. So,
yeah,
I want to defend him because I feel like he does get a lot of undeserved hate and he's helped us win things, he's had good seasons for us. But you do your talking on the pitch, man. You even if people like want to disrespect your 30 goals, you know. Simple, they speak for themselves, say whatever you want, and there can be players like, you know, people will love Bruno Fernandes, and they can point to his numbers and, all right, cool, I'll say it's not football, it's not my aesthetic. They'll say, what, 20 goals, 20 assists in football? Yeah, it's not. He's a midfielder, and I watch the intricacies of the game, and I watch the fact the ball breaks down whenever it gets to him, and I watch the technical inconsistencies. But anyway, I don't want to get to Bruno slander sesh, but Rashford is too experienced at this stage to still be throwing out the performances that he throws out. It's as simple as that, man.
100%.
I can't defend it. So for me, I feel like it's overwhelming the hate he gets. And even when he plays well, it's always like a but. And you know, with a but, everything before you say but isn't
it's right. Irrelevant. Yeah.
What I say, but hopefully, like you say, he can finish the season well. I want to see double figures in the league. Where he gets another goal in the FA Cup. So probably not 15, but maybe like 12 goals all comps.
How many goals you got all comps right now?
Eight. 8 and 35, yeah.
That's not great. Quick question, yeah. Do you think Luis Diaz is better than Marcus Rashford?
No.
Why?
I don't think he's technically better. I don't think he's athletically better. Don't think he's put up the numbers that Rashford has put up here. He's got 11 and 39 in a team that scored like 120 odd goals this season so far, I think. Like,
he's
a really potent attack. Like, Rashford hasn't played in a well-functioning side the whole time he's been here. Like, obviously, Ramble, that was a great time. And then the season afterwards, he played quite a bit injured, but then he still managed to salvage double figure league goals, 20 or comps. But when have you say since he's joined the team, he's played in a consistently potent attacking team?
I think if
a team is consistently potent, he gets you 20 goals minimum every season, personally. Yeah. He typically will go through games and get like one or two chances. And yeah, the ball breaks down when it comes to him. But that happens with other attackers. Like, look at the point I made about Raheem Sterling. Like, he was scoring 20-30 at City. Obviously, he was like the most potent attack. But you put the same guy in a completely different environment and he's putting up similar numbers to what Marcus Rashford is doing in a down year. So I say all that to say that these players are very much environment dependent, you know? Like, last year, I feel like outperformed, this is Rashford, the opportunities he was getting. And I think by the end of the season, I would still say he outperformed them because towards the end of the season, most games he was getting like one chance scoring. Towards the end of the season, he started getting chances and not putting them away. But how well he did early in the season and how clinical he was for me still suggests he over-delivered on what he was actually given, you know? So I think with him, if we could put together a really good football team, he will do well. Like, he has all the attributes to be able to do really well. You know,
just for the record, I don't think Diaz is better than Rashford. I've been arguing about it all weekend. I just think it's a stupid argument, but I just brought it to the pod in it.
No, that's fine. It's a chat to have. I'm looking in the last, since 2015-16, he's slightly underperformed his XG. So his XG is 84.58. He has 83 goals and he's overperformed his expected assists by quite a lot. So he has 39 assists and 30.75. So last season, by the end, it said he underperformed it by 1.76. It's this league, by the way. And this season, he's underperformed it by like 0.47. Seasons before that, overperformed it by 1.18. Season before that, overperformed it by 1.42. And actually, it's the lockdown season where he scored 17, but his XG was 19.5. So he can do a bit more with the finishing, I think. You just give him a higher volume of chances. And like I said, 20 or comp. So Rashford wouldn't sell him for 100 million personally. It'll be hard to, like, anyone you want to replace him for would cost at least that much. So I think keep him, put him in a team that accentuates his strengths and kind of allows us to not have to go to him for things that are his weaknesses. Next is from Jermaine. Anyone else get the renewal tech from Manchester United an hour after they won the game? Thoughts on that nasty work from the establishment?
What, say that again?
The question is, anyone else get the renewal text from Man United an hour after they won the game? Thoughts on that nasty work from the establishment?
Oh, renewal.
Yeah.
Text. Nah, I'm not signed up. I don't even know anything.
Yeah, I'm not signed up either.
It must be a season ticket.
Yeah. Next one is from Pope Suizus. How long we eating off that one, boy? Until we play them again. We still have to play them again. And they might... They might curb stomp us still. So we're eating off of that until we play them again, personally. And
I can't lie, we could slap them again, though.
I don't know if they're going to play as disjointedly as they did then. But last one from Kuro Oshie. Kobe Mainu, am I begging it? You're not
You're not begging it. It's hard already. The tune is cold already.
He's done nothing. He hasn't even
done cold already. The tune is cold already, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, we've just heard the intro. Bro, we've just heard 30 seconds of the intro. Shout out all them man in it, because Kobe Mainu is the truth. What? As one gun, another one burn. Because what? That brother is born to ball.
Yeah.
Ball is life. Like, yeah, Kobe. Yeah, cold. We don't need to say anything. We can all see it. Everyone's bred in him. All former legends of all other clubs, they're all bred in him. His Instagram comments is just full of ballers. Yeah. It's long, man. It's long. Long may it continue. And I pray he stays focused, man.
Am I begging?
Kobe stays focused, man.
Am I begging it? Literally.
You're not begging it, bro. It's cold already, bro.
Yeah, it's what it looks like. And for me, we've already seen what happens when you have a top-class midfield talent, i.e. Paul Pogba, and don't surround them with the tools for us to get the best out of them. Yeah. So my is we don't make the same mistake with Kobe. That's all I ask for. Yeah? Can you for once not be a piece of shit club?
Yeah, for real. Omar, bruv. You got blood on your... I mean, bruv. We're hoping, bruv. Ashworth, bruv. Who them, man?
Yeah, Casemiro, get him out of my club, yeah?
Saudi-bound, bruv.
Yeah, Saudi-bound. That Saudi 50 million stimulus package needed. Casemiro, get him out of my club. Surround him with a DM who's athletic and is competent on the ball. Bruno Fernandes is only 29. He's not going anywhere, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, guys, we can't get rid of the fucker. But yeah, Kobe Mainu's got it all, man. He's tenacious. He's comfortable in tight places. He's got a cool head on him. He's only 18, so he's going to 18, 19, so he's going to develop physically.
Yeah.
He developed here, man. Carrington does it again, bro. The conveyor belt continues.
Come on, man. Born to ball, man.
Born to ball.
Yeah. I like Carrington.
As always, a pleasure. Hopefully, we see you again before the season ends. I know it'll probably be tied to some sort of big game performance. So, fingers crossed, we pull out a good result in the next few months and we can have you on again. But always a pleasure, bro.
Love, my brother. Appreciate you, man.
Right, take care.
Love.
Bye.
I shoot my 187, that's Andrew Cole. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check my record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murder a beat, I'm cold. I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to talk. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check man's record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murder a beat, I'm cold. When I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole, I just do my thing, I don't need to. Middle of the field and check like scores. But I still grind and chase my goals. When I get a chance, man's veins get cold.
Sports Social Podcast Network.